Hello and welcome back to Philosophy for Beginners. Today we remain in the Renaissance and walk from the quiet of Montaigne's Tower back into the streets and chambers of power. Our guide is Niccolò Machiavelli of Florence, a civil servant with the eyes of a dramatist who watched politics at close range and wrote what he saw, not what people wished to see. His name became a byword for cruelty and cunning, but his first loyalty was to the survival of the city. He believed that a state worth living in is a state worth preserving, and that preserving it requires seeing human beings as they are when stakes are high, not as we imagine them when sermons are being preached. He wrote a short, sharp manual called The Prince, and a much larger set of reflections called The Discourses on Livy, and between them, he taught Europe to distinguish moral hopes from political mechanics without abandoning either. Machiavelli was born in 1649 into a Florence that glittered and quarreled in equal measure. Banking houses and workshops made the city rich. Poets and painters made it famous. Rival families made it unstable. Foreign kings treated Italy like a chessboard. The French crossed the Alps. The Spanish pressed from the south. The papacy was a power among powers. In this world of alliances and betrayals, the Florentine Republic employed a young Machiavelli in its chancery. He carried letters, read reports, wrote dispatches, and learned how quickly a calm afternoon could become an emergency. After the fall of the fiery preacher Savonarola, Machiavelli rose. By 1498, he was secretary of the Second Chancery. With responsibilities that sent him across the peninsula to negotiate with princes and popes and with the captains of mercenary bands, whose swords changed hands with the wind. He met Cesare Borgia, a ruthless young duke who moved with a terrible, compelling efficiency. He took notes on everything: how men talked, how they entered a room, how soldiers were paid, how fear was managed, how laws were announced and then broken. When the Medici returned to power in 1512 with Spanish support, Machiavelli was dismissed, arrested, and tortured. He went home bruised and unemployed and wrote to a friend that he spent his days in the fields and his nights in conversation with the ancients, in exile from office. He wrote his most enduring books. The Prince is his most infamous. It is small enough to fit in a coat, bold enough to start rumors in a court. Its purpose is not to argue that rulers should be wicked. It is to describe how power actually works when a new prince tries to hold a precarious state in a treacherous environment. He says plainly that the moral rules we teach children are not sufficient for founding or rescuing a state. A prince must be prepared to act against mercy, faith, humanity, and religion when the survival of the Commonwealth is at risk. This sounds monstrous until you set it against the catastrophes of his time. Invasions, sacks, famines, cities burned, citizens banished. Machiavelli is not searching for excuses. He is counting the costs of failure. Without basic security, no other virtue can be exercised at all. His vocabulary became famous: virtù and fortuna. Fortune is the river that floods the plain, washing away towns that built no levees, and sparing those that raised good banks in fair weather. Virtù is not chastity or charity. It is effective capacity, courage, the practical imagination that sees a door where others see a wall and goes through. The prince cannot control the flood, but he can build institutions in peacetime that will hold when the water rises, and he can cultivate a style that matches the season. If the times reward boldness, be bold. If the times reward patience, be patient. Above all, learn to tell the difference and to change your gait with the ground. He praises Pope Julius II for rashness because the moment rewarded speed, the same rashness in another season would destroy a state. He returns often to the difference between how we wish men behaved and how they do behave when frightened or tempted. He thinks people are generally grateful when it costs them little and ungrateful when it costs them much. They love at a distance and fear up close. You cannot build a state on love alone, because love drifts with weather and gossip. You can build a state on fear, but only if you avoid hatred. To avoid hatred, respect property and families, punish crimes predictably, let citizens go about their business without humiliation, and appear to keep faith even when you must break it. Appearance matters because most citizens know a ruler only by signs. Machiavelli is not recommending hypocrisy as a way of life. He is recognizing that in public life, symbols do work. A prince must be a lion to frighten wolves and a fox to avoid traps. If you are only a lion, hunters will snare you. If you are only a fox, the pack will tear you apart. One of the most chilling and careful chapters distinguishes cruelty well used from cruelty badly used. The first is limited, concentrated, and followed by institutions that make further cruelty unnecessary. The second is continual, capricious, and self-defeating. He cites Cesare Borgia's pacification of a lawless province through a feared lieutenant, then the public execution of that lieutenant to signal a return to order. The story bothers us, as it should, but Machiavelli's point is not to revel in blood. It is to remind a founder that measures taken under emergency must end, and end quickly, or the state will rot from the habits those measures teach. Severity is sometimes a surgeon's knife. Sadism is a disease. He hates mercenaries. The Italian wars taught him that a city that rents its sword rents its future. Soldiers who do not belong to a city will sell it when a higher bidder arrives. Hence his insistence on citizen arms and civic training. Good laws and good arms support each other. The law without force is a sermon in the wind, and force without law is mere banditry. A republic that wants to last must raise and honor citizens willing to defend it. If the prince worries the conscience, the discourses on Livy expand the horizon. Here Machiavelli praises the Roman Republic and explains how conflict, properly channeled, becomes fuel for liberty. He argues that the struggle between elite and people, when contained by offices like the tribunate, keeps a state awake. Harmony that suppresses dissent is only quiet before an explosion. Institutions must give the many a place to speak and the few a reason to listen. Republics decay as citizens grow soft and offices become ornaments. The remedy is a return to beginnings. Sometimes a harsh reformer is needed to refound the orders, but the goal is not eternal dictatorship. The goal is a commonwealth in which ambition and rivalry are compelled to serve the public. Religion, in this analysis, is not, for Machiavelli, a system of metaphysical certainties. It is a civic instrument. The Romans, he says, used rituals to bind citizens to the whole, to encourage obedience in armies, to frame sacrifice as honor. He admires these uses while remaining cool toward claims about the supernatural. Critics call this cynicism. Realists call it an early sociology of institutions. What matters is not piety as private feeling, but the way ceremonies shape public expectation and restrain panic. His view of human nature is deliberately unsentimental. He is not saying that people never love, never keep promises, never act from honor. He is saying that politics must assume the worst when the stakes are highest, because the cost of misplaced trust can be the city's ruin. From this assumption come the rules of prudence that feel harsh and yet constrain rulers as much as citizens. Do not humiliate your subjects. Do not seize their goods. Do not rely on foreign arms. Do not make cruelty a habit. Do not confuse theatrical generosity with sustainable finance. Do not resist the times. Do not forget that once you have used emergency powers, you must put them down. He spent his last years writing plays and histories, as well as political theory. He loved the movement of speech on stage and understood that politics is also theater. He died in 1527, the year Florence's Republican hopes flickered again, and the peninsula suffered new violence. His burial was quiet. His afterlife was loud. The church banned his books. Humanists tut-tutted. Yet thinkers kept reading him. Hobbes learned a new candor about fear and order. Rousseau claimed that the prince teaches people to hate tyrants by showing them how tyrants think. Modern diplomats and strategists reread him to remind themselves that interests and perceptions govern outcomes as much as ideals do. The word Machiavellian hardened into an insult, But beneath the insult, the argument remained. Without safety, justice is a slogan. Without institutions, virtue is a speech. Without timing, courage is a charge into a wall. If we try to place Machiavelli in moral philosophy, we must give him his due for honesty. He says what most systems try to tuck behind a curtain, that rulers sometimes face choices in which every option is in some respect wrong, and that the least wrong choice may involve deception or force. He does not celebrate this. He refuses to pretend it will go away if we speak more sweetly. He asks for a virtue suited to storms, steadiness, attention to consequences, humility before fortune, readiness to change styles with the season, and the discipline to stop using the knife once the patient is out of danger. He would tell you that love without arms is fragile, and that fear without law is monstrous. He would ask you to measure policies not by the beauty of their words, but by whether they preserve the space in which ordinary people can work, worship, raise children, and bury their dead without terror. Why read Machiavelli now? Because we still prefer pleasant fictions to rough mechanics. Because we call necessity by nicer names when it favors us, and treachery when it favors them. Because leaders are tempted to mistake applause for stability. Because citizens forget that hatred is a solvent that eventually dissolves the vessel that contains it. Machiavelli does not tell us to abandon ideals. He tells us to anchor them in what human beings actually do. If you want liberty, build offices that can absorb conflict. If you want honor, pay your soldiers on time. If you want justice, make sure your courts are feared by the powerful who would otherwise make a theater of mercy for the weak. If you want peace, store grain in summer and mend your walls when the sun is out. Then, when fortune rises, you may still be standing. Thank you for listening to Philosophy for Beginners. Next, we will turn to Michel de Montaigne's neighbor by contrast, a man who took doubt itself and shaped it into a method, and to the political thinker who treated fear as the price of peace. For now, hold two truths together without letting either fall: that kindness makes ordinary life possible, and that without order, kindness has no roof. Produced by Selenius Media, music by The Artificial Laboratory.